And amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, and he said this. He said, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words." Now, I'm going to quote it from the King James Version because that's the one I can quote it from. He said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So much of the time, when we speak faith, when we say the word faith, people say, "Oh, I have all the faith in the world. I can do this, I can do that." Faith, 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 faith. And when you come to church, people hear a faith message and they say, "Oh, you know what? I already heard that." And they shut their ears off. They shut their hearts off and they tune out. But faith pleases God. The Word of God tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must do two things. One, he must believe that God is. Not that he exists, so to speak, but that he is. Our Heavenly Father is a very present help in the time of trouble. When Moses was on the mountain and the burning bush appeared to him, he walked over and he said, "Well, this is a strange sight. Let me go over to this thing." And the Lord, speaking from the bush, said, "You are standing on holy ground." And he told him to take his shoes off. And God spoke to him. He says, "I want you to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And all of a sudden you hear, "I am God. You will go down." No, he says, "Tell them I am has sent you." That's who our God is. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Yes, he is the God who was, and he is the God who will be. But we need to see God in the present, that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. So much of the time, we look to the past and see what God did all those years ago. But what is God doing now? What is he doing now in your life? We need to say, "Father, I thank you for what you did, and I thank you for what you will do. But Father, I thank you for what you are doing now in my life, that you are a very present help in the time of trouble." And not only did he say we must believe that he is, we also must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards faith because he is a faith God. Now you may say, "Well, how is he a faith God?" Well, first of all, he used faith to create the heavens and the earth. God spoke and it happened. So if God speaks and things happen, and the Word of God says that he created us in his image and in his likeness, the Word of God tells us, for as he is, so are we in this world. So if he created us in his image and likeness, then that must mean that our words carry weight and that our words have power and authority. And you may say, "Oh, here we go again. One of those fanaticals, one of those people that preach faith, 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 faith. And everything he says just falls on them like ripe cherries off a tree." No, You've got to believe. It's not just the saying part, but it's the believing part. God does things because he said it and he expects it to happen. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, what happened to that fig tree? From the outside, from the natural, nothing happened. But the Word of God tells us that the disciples heard him. So he went into the town, and a few days later, when they came back, Peter, noticing the tree, said, "Master, the tree which you cursed is withered away." And that's when Jesus said, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever," you don't have to be a preacher. It says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." So are you saying, Josh, that if all I were to say is, "I wish I had $1 million, that I could have $1 million? Hold on here. You've got to believe that you receive when you pray. But is it always God's will for us to have $1 million just so we can blow it? No. If God wants you to have $1 million, he will find a way for the finances to come into your hands, not for you just to sit on $1 million and become a millionaire. No. When you have things, it's so you can be a blessing to other people. That's the key here. It's not just having things. It's being a blessing to other people. And this morning, I want to talk to you about building your world through words. Building your world through words. Words are powerful. Words are important. Words are what makes you or breaks you. How many of you have ever heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me"? How many of you have ever had somebody say something negative about you and said it to your face? How did that make you feel? Did that make you feel great, or did that make you feel rotten? 9 times out of 10, you're gonna feel lousy when somebody says something against you. Names do hurt. But the key is, be like a duck. When water lands on the duck, water just flows off the duck's back. Names hurt, but we can't allow names, we can't allow those things that people say about us to affect us, to get in us. The Word of God says, "For it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." So whatever your heart is full of, that's what's going to be coming out of your mouth. If all you see about yourself is that, "Oh, I'm no good. I'm just a failure. I'm just this. I'm just that." And you keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, eventually it's going to become a reality in your life. But if you start saying what God says about you, the Word of God says that you are the head, not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you are blessed going in and blessed going out. The Word of God says that you are righteous. The Word of God says that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that you are the healed of the Lord. No matter what comes your way, no matter what's happening in your life, if you speak what God says about you and you believe it, you can receive all of God's promises. The Word of God says that all of God's promises are yes, and in him, amen. If they're yes and amen, if God promised you that you can have health, if God promised you that you can have all of your needs met, if God promised you, you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then you can do it. You can be all that God says you can be. And you can possess all that God says that you can possess. Not because you're anybody special. Yes, you are the apple of his eye. But you are also a king's kid. And God said in his word, all you got to do is have faith. Faith is the key that moves God's hand in your life. Let me say again. Faith is the key that moves God's hand in your life. Remember what we said earlier, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word of God also says that whatever isn't of faith is sin. So doubt and unbelief is contrary to what God says about you. Now, does God lie? Does God lie? No. If God doesn't lie, then why do we say in our hearts and a lot of times in our heads that, well, maybe it's not God's will for me to have this. Maybe it's not God's will for me to be healed. Maybe it's not God's will for me to be blessed. Maybe it's not God's will for me to thrive and be a success in life. It is God's will for you to be a success in life. But you've got to see yourself in the very image of God. Ladies, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. You see a reflection of yourself. And if you want to do your hair, or put makeup on, you have to use a mirror so you can see what you're doing. A lot of times, what's happening is people are looking in the rearview mirror of their life. And they're seeing where they were. And if you're so focused on what is behind and what's already happened and what's already been done. Okay, let's say you're in the car, you're driving down Shenango Road this afternoon after church, and you keep looking in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, and you end up crashing into a car in front of you. Why did you crash? Because you were looking behind and you weren't looking at what's ahead. A lot of times we look at the past, what God's already done, but we need to start seeing, what is God doing now? How is he blessing me now? How is he prospering me now? How is he equipping me now? We need to see God as a reward. We need to see God as he is. For as he is, so are we now in this world. Not as he was, but as he is. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we need to understand that our world, now I'm not just talking about the earth in which we live, our world is our influence on where we're at now, our community, our household. Our world is shaped by our words. The Word of God tells us that words carry weight and power. The Word of God says that don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because when you say a harsh word, it gets into the atmosphere. And it affects where you're at. How many times have you ever gone? I know this happened to me a few times. I've gone to go visit somebody, and you could tell that harsh words were spoken. You could just walk into the room, and you could just feel the strife. You could feel the hatred. You could feel the animosity. Just filling the room. But a kind word goes a long way. A kind word where you just speak peace, even though things may be happening beyond your control. Jesus said like this. He said in John 16:33, he said, in the world, you will face tribulation. You will face tests and trials. You will go through hard places in life. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world for you and I. And we need to see him as he is now. Amen. Hallelujah. And over in Deuteronomy, I believe Brother Sam quoted this earlier. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose death. Or as they say in Spanish, nada. No. He says, I call heaven and earth to choose life that both you and your seed may live. Choose life. See, this life is an open book test. He said, choose life that both you and your seed may live. He told us what our choices must be, but we still get to make the final decision. Do you realize that? If you want to choose death, if you want to choose misery, if you want to choose destruction, you can. It's not God's best for you, but you can choose it. That's why the Word of God tells us to choose wisely. Over in Proverbs 18, he also said, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Do you realize that your tongue is almost like a rudder of a ship? A rudder of a ship is real tiny, but it can control which way the ship goes. Your tongue is small, but yet it can control the way your life goes. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. The words you spoke yesterday is where you're at today. The words that were spoken years ago are affecting your present. But you can change the direction your life is going by speaking what you want to happen in your life. A lot of times we're speaking what's something contrary to what God's already said. If he called you blessed, are you blessed? If he called you prosperous, if he called you healed, even though things may be happening in your life, and God doesn't lie, he's telling the truth. We need to start saying and agreeing with God. If our life is heading in the wrong direction, we need to change what we're saying. We need, if our believing is wrong, then our speaking is wrong. And if our believing and speaking is wrong, then our thinking is going to be wrong as well. As you believe it, first you think it, and then you believe it, and eventually it comes out of your mouth. Like I said earlier, whatever your heart is full of, that's what's going to be coming out of your mouth. But if you start saying what God says about you, that you are blessed, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you are the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. If you start saying what God says about you, your life will begin to change. The direction you're going will be a lot smoother. How many of you have ever driven somewhere on a trip, never gone the wrong direction? How many of you have your own GPS system? Oh, I know where I'm going. I remember one time I was going to speak somewhere, and I'm following the road signs, and it said, turn off here. And Pastor Sam had also preached in this same church out in Lucas, Ohio. It's a four-square church, and I'm following the signs. And so I'm driving, And I figured out, you know, I'm lost. The service is at 10 o'clock and it's 9:45. I'm like, oh boy. And so I pull into a church parking lot. I'm about ready to pass the church. I pull into the church parking lot, hoping that somebody's going to direct me in the right direction. And so I get out of the car. I walk into the door. They're having Sunday school. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me about shakes my teeth out of my mouth. And says, good to see you, brother. How are you? And he's shaking me, my teeth are rattling. And I says, I don't know about you, but I'm lost. And I said, could you help me find where I'm supposed to go? And he told me to have a seat. I'm thinking, I'm like, dude, I got to preach somewhere in like 15 minutes. And eventually, he told me where I'm supposed to go. This church I was at was going to be coming to the night service. And I'm thinking, buddy, I got to get somewhere. Tell me how to go. That's what God does. He speaks to us through the still small voice of his spirit. He speaks to our spirit. And that's the guidance that we need to go through with life. But when we get that guidance, we need to start agreeing with God and saying with God and start saying what God says about us. The Word of God says, let the weak say, I am weak, and get weaker. No, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. We used to sing the song years ago, and in the chorus it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. And there's another verse that says, let the sick say, I am whole. Let the bound say, I am free. We sang it this morning. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to lift my voice for you. We are free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus already opened the prison door. The prison's already open. What are we still doing inside? Why are we allowing our circumstances to rob us from fulfilling God's plan and purpose for our lives? Because we're saying stupid things. Did he just say stupid in church? Yes, I did. If you're not following God's plan for your life, you're stupid. I'll say it again. If you're not following God's plan for your life, you're stupid. You got to follow God's plan and his purpose for you, because his plans are perfect. We're not perfect. We are imperfect vessels. But God always uses imperfect people. Because when he uses imperfect people, he causes his glory to fall and to flow in the atmosphere. Moses stuttered. God used him. David committed adultery. He committed murder. But yet God says that David was a man after my own heart. The Apostle Paul was on his way to go kill Christians. But yet God turned his life around, and Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The Apostle Peter had anger issues. James and John also had anger issues. James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, were known as the sons of thunder. Why? Because they wanted to call fire down from heaven and burn the people up of this town where Jesus was, because they didn't accept Jesus' message. But yet, John, in his later years, was known as the apostle of love. How be it to go from a son of thunder calling fire down to being known as the apostle of love? Because Jesus calls imperfect people. Jesus calls those who feel like they have nothing to offer. God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. When I was 16 years of age, I went to a youth retreat at Lock Haven University with the church we were at, where I was attending at the time. And the guest minister says, if you feel called to ministry, I want you to come down to the altar. I want to lay hands on you and pray over you. And at this retreat, we had almost 1,000 kids from different districts of the organization that the church was involved in. And I'm watching hundreds of kids stream to the altar. And I'm watching. And all of a sudden on the inside, I hear, go to the altar. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm looking around like this. And I hear it again, go to the altar. And my best friend, Jason Taylor, was sitting next to me. I looked at Jason and I said, why do you want me to go to the altar? I'm not called to ministry. He looked at me like I had two heads and he says, I didn't say anything to you. And I'm thinking, okay. And I thought, well, maybe I was just feeling the moment and just having these feelings and these emotions. I need to get a hold of myself. All of a sudden, I heard it the third time. Get your butt to the platform. And I'm thinking, well, that wasn't my buddy. So I got up. And what the voice I heard, it seemed like it was coming from out here. But yet, the still small voice of God comes from the inside. So I heard it. Go to the altar. And so I got up. My legs are shaking. You could hear my knees knocking against each other as I'm walking to the platform. And I got to the altar and I said, Lord, at that time I did stutter. I had a stuttering problem. And I said, Lord, if you're really doing this and you're really serious about this, you got a lot of work to do. And you know, God spoke this to my heart. He says, I'm calling you to your generation to speak my word with power and authority. And you know, I never looked back since. God has a perfect plan for each and every one of you, whether you realize it or not, whether you're called to the fivefold ministry or not, God has something for each and every one of you. He doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. And he wants you to do something important and significant for his kingdom. And there I was 16 years of age, got marvelously filled with the Holy Ghost that same night. And I began to see God do things in my life that I could never imagine possible. I go off to Bible college at the age of 19. I'm lucky I knew the books of the Bible. I remember we had a gentleman in our church who he gloated about how many times that he read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And you know, I went through Bible college. I graduated from Bible college and I had never read the Bible all the way through once. And there I am sitting in the back of the church because I was one of the ushers. And I'm thinking, maybe I'll do something about that. And so I said that. I told the Lord, I said, okay. If he can do it four times in 1 year, let's see what happens. So I started from Genesis. I got to Deuteronomy. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I closed my Bible up, threw it on my nightstand. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have some guy tell me and gloat what he can do. But what does God want me to do? Now, this was years ago. Now, I have read the Bible all the way through, praise God. But just because somebody does it their way doesn't mean it is the correct way or the right way. It's got to be God's way. It's got to be God's order. and how God does things. The Word of God tells us, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you. Thoughts to give you a hope and a future." God has a future for each and every one of us. And a lot of times people say, well, we need to live in the moment. No, we need to live in God's moment. Because when we live in our moment is fleeting. It could be here 1 minute and gone the next. But in God's moment lasts a lifetime. God's moment is eternal. Can you say amen this morning? Now, the Word of God tells us that we have been translated or delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been translated into a new kingdom. Now, we're still talking about faith here this morning. Now, in those two kingdoms are two very different forms of belief. Did you realize that? In the kingdom of darkness is a fear-based system, while in the kingdom of God is a faith-based system. Now, inside those two systems are two ways of speaking. The enemy will try to use words of darkness to express yourself. To the untrained ear, those words may seem harmless. But if you pay attention, it might help alter the course of your life. People will say things, and if you think about it, it will make you cringe. Things such as, "You make me sick," or "I'm dying to go," "I'm just having a senior moment," or "I'm catching a cold," or "I never get good breaks," or "Nothing good ever happens to me." Words are authority here on the earth. And Satan waits on our words. He waits on what we say. He's waiting for us to gum up the system. A lot of times we blame the devil for what's happening in our lives when the real cause was us. We cause things to happen because we're what we're saying, what we're believing, what we're speaking, what we're thinking about. If our thinking is wrong, then our believing is going to be wrong. If our believing is wrong, then what we say is going to be wrong as well. So we've got to change what we're thinking about. We've got to change what we're believing. We've got to change what we say. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you." We got to start saying with our mouth what God has already said about the situation. That's the reason why we must be always speaking and saying the words of the kingdom. Those words will empower you and I to propel us forward in life. So how do you get God's word? You get into the book. You get out of His book. Speak something in line with the Word of God, with what He's already said about you. You see, inside of you and I is soil. Get something in there, and that soil will try to grow it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4. Are you getting anything this morning? Mark chapter 4, let's start with verse 3. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell amongst thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now verse 14 of the same chapter, Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word of God, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Your heart is the ground where seeds can be sown. So whatever you get in there, your heart is going to try to grow it, whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not. If you, all you do, if you watch as the world turns and you get all this garbage in, garbage out. The word of God says, for whatever is the heart is full of, it's eventually come out of your mouth. So if all you have is garbage coming in your eye gates and in your ear gates, and it gets in and it begins to fill you up, and you begin to speak it and dwell on it and think about it all the time, all that negativity is going to be coming out. But if you get the word in your eyes, what saith it? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whatever the heart is full of, that's what's going to come out. Jesus came to set us free. He gave us the keys to live in victory. But a lot of times we take those keys and they're just still sitting on our belt loop, and we're not enacting them in any way. We're not allowing God's word to affect our outcome. We're not allowing God's word to take us from where we were to where we want to be. And we allow all the things of life to hinder us, to hamper us. Well, why didn't you come to church this morning? Oh, I didn't sleep last night. I'm tired. So I just, you know, I was up all night watching the movie. I was doing this, that, and the other thing. No. If it's Sunday, you need to be here, because this is where your victory lies. When you come to church, this is where you start your week out. This is where you hear the word. You hear the word of God preached. It gets into your heart, and it affects your today. It will affect your tomorrow. It will affect the next day and the next week, the next month. And it's not just coming to church one time, hearing a message, and you don't do anything about it. No, we need to keep hearing the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's not just one time hearing. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, the literal Greek tells us that it's a continual hearing. The Bible says, if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus said, if you continue, the word continue means we need to keep doing it. Keep saying it. Keep believing. Keep speaking. Because words carry power. Words are important. Can you say amen this morning? Once you get the word of God down in your heart, you will begin seeing God with you is bigger than the enemy that's coming against you. Speaking the word of God, speaking the word of the kingdom will dominate anything that is out of line with heaven. People just throw words around and they have no idea what's happening in the spiritual realm. Back in the day, people used to do what was called pleading the blood of Jesus. When you plead the blood, you draw a line, so to speak, in the sand. The enemy cannot cross that bloodline. He will do everything he can to try to get you out of the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to try to get you out of church. He'll do everything he can to try to rob you and to steal from you. Yes, the Word of God tells us that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life, the abundance of what God has for us is in His Word. Plead the blood when you get up, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Plead the blood over your mind before you go to sleep at night, so that your thoughts will be thoughts of peace. Plead the blood over your children so that their comings in and their goings out will be filled with favor, success, and promotion. You have no idea what kids can get involved in. I grew up in the church, but yet I had, at one point in time in my life, I had 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. Yeah, I went to youth group. Everything looked chipper. All you got to do is smile and put on a mask. But yet you remove the mask and it reveals your true nature. Jesus said like this, Behold, I give you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over just a few small things. No, he says, I've given you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, say nothing, nothing shall by any means harm you. Think about communion for a moment. Communion isn't just eating a wafer and drinking juice from a cup. Communion is healing time. Communion is deliverance time. The Word of God tells us that healing is the children's bread. The Word of God says in the 23rd Psalm that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now, if bread is food, and it says that healing is the children's bread, there's healing on that table. There's deliverance on that table. We used to sing the song also that says, Come and dine, come and dine, come and dine, come and dine. You come to the table. You take the bread. There's healing on that table. Healing belongs to each and every one of you, whether you realize it or not. Far too often when we take communion, we think about all the rotten things we did. Like so many times we go to communion and, well, think about all the rotten things you did. And you're like, okay, God, I won't do that again. I won't do this anymore. But we need to start seeing God as He sees us. He doesn't see us in our rottenness, but He sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see you for what you've done. He sees you for what you are, for what Jesus has done for you, in you, and through you. Can you say amen this morning? Jesus took the cup and He said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. There it is again, the blood of Jesus. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We have been delivered from the schemes of the wicked one. Now this should excite you this morning. If you knew how powerful your words really are, you would set a watch over your mouth so that your words would only be what God says about you. Before you get out of bed in the morning, you should be declaring that the favor of God surrounds you like a shield. That God is dealing with people to give you favor and to do good for you. Faith and favor determines the limits of your destiny. Favor is something God gave you to enable you with the grace of God to do what He has called you to do. One encounter with favor is worth a lifetime of labor. Let me say again. One encounter with favor is worth a lifetime of labor. Just imagine what will happen if you start declaring favor over your life on a daily basis. Increase, promotion, recognition, divine opportunity, divine appointments. Now, the letter written to the Hebrews mentions ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? When you pray, and you're praying and asking God for favor, say, ministering spirits, go forth and open the doors. Go forth and cause the favor to come. Go forth and cause these people to like me and to do good to me. Go forth and allow my voice, allow my face, and to allow my application to be what they see. I remember years ago, I had applied for a job. And I began praying for favor, before I went to the job interview. And as I'm sitting there at the interview, the person said, you're not the most qualified, but for some reason, I just can't get you out of my thinking. So there I had a job. Praise God, because God wants to give you and I favor. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. Folks, your destiny hangs in the balance by your words. Your words are powerful, and you can have what you say. Now, Charles Capps, who was one of the most prominent teachers of the Word of God back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, Charles, I said you can have what you say, but my people are saying what they have. Let me say again, I said you can have what you say, but my people are saying what they have. And in effect, what's been happening, people are saying, well, it's flu season. I guess I'm going to get the flu. I always get the flu at this time. Oh, it's the bird flu. Oh, it's the Hong Kong flu. Oh, it's this flu. It's that flu. I guess I'm going to get the flu again. I always get the flu. And they say it, and they say it over and over and over and over again. And wouldn't you know it, guess what they get? You can have what you say, whether you like it or not. You want to get the flu? Go ahead and start speaking flu. You want to get sick all the time? Then start speaking sickness. Well, it's cold season again. I always get the cold. I'm just having a senior moment. I always have senior moments. I'm always forgetting where I park. I'm always doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm this, that, and the other. Quit having senior moments. You may be a senior, but you have the mind of Christ. And you know all things. Quit having senior moments. Senior moments are under the blood. The Word of God says that He renews your youth like the eagles. Caleb and Joshua were 80 some years old. And God said, go ahead and take the promised land. What did Caleb and Joshua do? Said, I'm 80 years old and I lived my whole life and it's time to go. I'll just take my walker and go through my merry way. No. Caleb says, give me my mountain. Yes. I'm 85 years old. And the promise that was made to me all those years ago are still in effect. Give me my mountain. And Caleb was 85 years young. And he got his mountain. Our brother's 90. His life's not over yet. The Word of God says that we are promised 70 or 80 years. And if you want to keep on living, you keep on going. If you want to live to be 100, go ahead. If you want to live to be 110, go ahead. You want to live to be 120? I'm not going to stop you. But God's promises are yes, and in Him, amen. But we've got to start saying what God says about us. It's too much of us, oh, I'm just this, I'm just that, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You can put your stones down. I'm going to set you free this morning. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. And when you are saved by grace, that makes you and I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are just as righteous as Jesus is. I'll let that sink in a little bit. You are just as righteous as Jesus. Oh, are you saying that everything Jesus has is mine and that everything Jesus can do, I can do? Yeah. The works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. When we do the works of Jesus, we're fulfilling His plan here on the earth. When we're doing the works of Jesus, the enemy has to flee. When we're doing the works of Jesus, darkness has to go. When we're doing the works of Jesus, people are being set free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are the hands, we are the feet, we are the mouthpiece of Jesus. And we're not saying our own thing, our own words. But when we start saying what God says about the situation, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. We prayed this morning. So if you had a prayer request this morning, don't get into your car and uproot those prayer requests and uproot the prayer that was prayed. How do we uproot things? By saying, well, I had hands laid on me, and I don't feel any better. Jesus spoke words to a bunch of lepers. And He says, go show yourself to the priest. And the Word of God says that they were healed as they went. It doesn't say they were healed instantly. It says they were healed as they went. And what happened was the disease, the leprosy, stopped. And all of a sudden, one of them saw what happened. He turned around, went back to Jesus and said, Master, Lord, the leprosy stopped. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? And the guy said, well, they're probably on their way to the priest. And Jesus said, go your way. Be whole of your plague. He said the same thing to the woman with the issue of blood. With those people with leprosy, that man with leprosy, not only did the leprosy stop in his body, if he had a nose missing, that nose was restored. If he had fingertips missing, those fingertips were restored. If he had toes missing, those toes were restored. If he had an ear missing, that ear was restored. Because our God is in the restoration business. He doesn't just cover something, but He takes all the rotten things out of it and makes it brand new. When Jesus comes into a man's life, He doesn't just throw band-aids on the situation. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for band-aids for a problem. But what Jesus does is He makes you totally and completely made whole. Do you believe that this morning? Father God, I just thank You and praise You for Your word. I thank You for Your anointing. I thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercies. I thank You, Lord, for the word of God that was preached this morning, Father God. I thank You, Lord God, that Your anointing is beginning to flow here in this place, Father God. I thank You and praise You, Lord, that Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Father. I thank You, Father God.